The Hilltop Glove Podcast is sponsored by Mid-Carolina Service Company.
Mid-Carolina Service Company is the first name to search for your residential or commercial HVAC needs in Lexington and surrounding areas.
Just go holler at Jason and Clint. They'll hook you up on the air conditioners, on the restaurant equipment, refrigerators, refrigeration, ice machine repair. They've been doing this for years. I know them cats forever.
Family owned and operated since 2006, they pride themselves in their quality work and customer relationships. Call 803-356-4153 or visit midcarolinaserviceco.com for no obligation quote for service today. This episode of Hilltop Glove Podcast is brought to you by the Simon Marketing Agency. Turn an ordinary business into an extraordinary one since 2020. Simon James and his team do the hard work of attracting new customers so you can focus on making your business exceptional. As a brand marketing expert, Simon specializes in creating a unique and unforgettable identity for your business. From generating awareness to captivating content creation and strategic advertising, Simon Marketing Agency has you covered. Elevate your business today. Give them a call at 843-942-8880 or email them at simon@smasimon.com. Visit them at www.simonmarketing.agency. Make sure to follow them on Instagram at BrandSimonTV.
This episode of the Hilltop Glove Podcast is sponsored by Bob's. Bob's is a Columbia-based retailer of over 100 Black-owned products from 20 Black-owned businesses. Bob's offers a wide range of items from household cleaning, cosmetics, and everything in between. With every visit to Bob's, you support the Black-owned businesses, giving them the opportunity to grow and establish connections with our community. Bob's is located inside the Noma Warehouse at 2222 Sumter Street in Columbia, South Carolina. Visit their website, WeShopBops.com, for in-store pickup or to find out more. Bops can also be found via social media on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at WeShopBops. When you stop by, tell them the Hilltop Glove sent you. Bops brings quality Black brands to the Columbia community. The Hilltop Glove Podcast is sponsored by True Brilliance Entertainment.
True Brilliance is a production, promotions, and management company dedicated to connecting artists and producers across the Carolinas to music industry professionals.
Several of their clients have placements both domestic and internationally as a result of their services.
Are you an artist or producer looking to build meaningful relationships within the music industry? Then True Brilliance is for you. Check them out at paramilitary.com. That's spelled P-A-I-R-A military.com.
Welcome to the Hilltop Glove Podcast.
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 Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Hilltop Glove Podcast. Today we had the pleasure of speaking with Vaughn Postema, born in Killeen, Texas, but now living in Charleston, South Carolina. Vaughn is a wife, business owner, and video editor. She attended the College of Charleston between 2010 and 2014, where she studied communications and psychology. Vaughn has worked in the entertainment, marketing, and hospitality industries. As a secretary at SC Normal, she strives on educating the community on all things cannabis. She is the co-owner of Mr. B's CBD, located at 1072 or 1072 King Street in Charleston, South Carolina, providing quality CBD and hemp products to the community. As well as a senior partnership manager at Charleston Wine and Food, she specializes in audio production editing. Thank you for joining us today, Vaughn. How are you doing?
I'm feeling great after that intro.
Ooh, hey. She liked my little bio I wrote up about her.
I kind of enjoyed it. I was like, oh, it sounds good. I'll be like repeating it. I'm like, she sound legit.
No, mine is very legit, y'all. And I'll go ahead and always do my little, I guess I have to say this. It's not as if I don't know Vaughn. I did actually go to the College of Charleston with Vaughn, and we worked on some things in the past. But we actually have a old relationship, as they would say, of working together and being with each other. She actually did, my brother Rashid, her husband actually did his first interview. that he's ever that Rasheed ever did was done with them. Yeah, girls, wow. I was saying, I remember them days, man, up there on Upper King Street. And of course, Kevin was there with us at the College of Charleston, and he knows Vaughn as well. So this is going to be a really good conversation today, just catching up and seeing what you have going on now, because I know things are moving. Yeah, girl, you are a busy lady all the time, every day. I don't even follow many people on social media. As you know, I'm horrible with social media, but but I do follow you and try to make sure I keep up with what you're doing, because you always took me as a person who knew what you wanted to do and knew how to get it done. And just watching somebody do that, especially from an early age, and like, yo, look at that stride and look how much energy she puts into doing things. It's just extremely positive. So to have you on this podcast, especially when we're talking about adulting, learning how to do things well, how to run your business, how to run your life, and just being a positive, a successful adult in this day and age, especially as a millennial, it's going to be really good for our audience to hear some of the things that you have to say. But first things first, as you always have to start, I must ask, man, as a creative, you're someone that has the ability to invent and develop original ideas, especially in the arts. And I know Tamara, when she was putting these questions together, she could definitely tell that you are a creative. Could you tell the audience a little bit? Exactly. Could you tell the audience a little bit more about yourself, your upbringing, and what your life was like growing up?
Yeah, absolutely. First and foremost, I have to really give a big ups to my parents, because they were and have always been extremely supportive of, I have always been creative. I've always been interested in seeing what is not there. Mm-hmm. I've always had vision. I've always had curiosity, which is the crux of my success always, is that I'm curious and I will search and look for what I need to fulfill that curiosity. So growing up, that was pretty much a little bit of what it was. I read at an early age. I was a big problem solver. I started businesses at an early age. Yeah. My mom was the one who really helped nurture that entrepreneurial, I guess you could say, craving mindset, that I had, and mindset. And they weren't entrepreneurs. Like my parents weren't entrepreneurs. Like my family all went to the military. Like that's what they did. And I was like, I don't really want to do that. And so that's what my upbringing was. My upbringing was, Vaughn, you can do it. And it's actually funny, because then when you graduate from college, I felt like my dad got a little, your parents go back into what they know works for them, year. They're like, oh, that you've got this great job. And I'm like, yeah, I'm about to quit that. I'm about to quit that. But I mentioned that because in my upbringing, you just can't tell a kid all their life, do what you want. You can do what you want, like reach for the stars and then tell them not to reach for the stars. I've been in the dojo for years, reaching for the stars. Now that's what I've continued to do in my adulthood. So I love my upbringing. I love my family. My family has always been near and dear to my heart, and they have always been supportive of me. Even in times where I was failing forward, or times where I was like, I want to do this really bad. And my mom was like, oh my God, that's not going to go well. And it didn't go well, but it was nice to have that security of their support so that I could bounce back when I needed.
Good point.
Now, are you an only sibling?
No, I'm the youngest, actually. Oh. I'm the youngest, but my siblings are, my sister with whom I grew up with, I have a few different siblings, right? And adulthood has really helped me forge better relationships with siblings that I may not have lived with.
Yeah,
but growing up, I was with, I said that in such a mature way.
I know, Vaughn. You don't understand. It's so interesting hearing you talk. Go ahead, keep speaking, girl, lady.
Oh, God. Okay, so I was impressing myself just now. But my sister, who I grew up with, she's 10 years older than me. Okay. And so the joke is that we were both pretty much only children, because of the fact that we were so far apart in age, but we have such a close bond. So I'm the youngest, though. Out of the total is five, but I grew up with one sibling. So I'm the youngest regardless.
Wow. So I got a question. So the oldest, how much older is the oldest than you?
10 years.
Oh,
10 years.
So it's 10. Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's 10. Okay. Got mm-hmm.
it. Yeah. 10 years.
Wow. Okay. So with that being said, growing up, you said feeling like an only child, basically, in aspects of that. Do you think that afforded you a little bit more attention from your parents than you would have had if you'd grown up with all five of those folks at the same time?
You know, I never thought about that. And I imagine probably so. But I also think that the attention is, I think it's less about, like, I think more than just being like just the two of us in the household and attention being able to be like divided in that way. I think a big, big thing was my mom for the first like few years of my life, my mom stayed at home. And she also I was a Head Start baby. So my mom also taught Head Start. So she was also like my teacher, or like she was like down the hall. So I think that a lot of that, you know, my dad was in Saudi Arabia when I was born, like he was in the military. So he was in Operation Desert Storm. So my mom really took, you know, the helm, obviously, and just, you know, kept ships running. But she was really good at being observant. Mm-hmm. And giving time and space. So that is something to think about. I've never thought about it in that way before. I'm sure that has to play a factor into things.
Obviously.
But we also had a lot of other children around us too, in terms of just being a military kid. Like you kind of get those friends when you can.
I've
like
heard
you,
of that.
There's always, yeah. Even though you have the expectation that in probably a couple of years, you know, I'll move and we'll never see each other again, but it's one of those things that, you know, sometimes, yeah. But
I get those stories. Yeah. Now because recently I recently got married. So I now have a wife, Ms. Vaughn.
Congrats.
Yes. I'm an honest man now. Let me go ahead and hit C. There it is. And
Joker said hit C.
Pardon me. So yeah, she's actually a military brat herself and had to move around a lot. And she's explains to me that dynamic all the time and why she takes her friendships that she does have so very dearly. Like she holds on to these people and tries to follow, make sure she stays in contact with them. And she beats me up about not staying in contact with my folks and et cetera. She's like, bruh, they actually like you. Why don't you go talk to them?
Absolutely. I mean, it's pretty interesting. Like it's pretty interesting because it does affect you. And even when you think it's not affecting you, but as an adult, when you can kind of look back and say, oh, those are those. OK, I see the patterns now. Yeah. Or like why these friendships mean so much to me, because I love hearing about people who have been friends since they were.
Isn't
like
that amazing?
Kids. Yeah. And I'm like, wow, I'm like, that sounds cool. You know, and so I think that friendships, and I think, you know, once again, being in a different age bracket than my sister, I would have friends that were my age, you know, sometimes I have a friend right now from high school that he's a little bit younger than me, but like, I cherish that friendship because that's like, he's like a brother to me.
Exactly.
Like I've kind of like absorbed him as like as an additional sibling, but you know, so those relationships are impactful.
So, you know, my name is Tamaya. Sorry. I was excited about this whole conversation with you, but as we all know from our own personal experience from staying at hotels, that the hospitality industry provides customers with positive experiences, which eventually increases your retention rate. It's the same for other industries such as marketing and entertainment. So since you have worked in each of these industries, can you tell us the differences and also the similarities?
Oh, man, it's a great question. When I saw this question, I was like, man, that's awesome, because, you know, the hospitality industry and the marketing industry really do align well with each other because it's about connecting with people.
Yeah,
it's about
true.
Connecting with people. It's about establishing trust with people. It's about understanding where the pain points are and then providing people with solutions to those pain points. And a lot of times people may not think like, well, what pain points? Well, I mean, if you need a restful weekend, and you want to go to a hotel or a big chunk of my hospitality experiences in like food and bev, you go to a nice restaurant, you're coming there because you want to relax, you want to decompress, you want to do all those things.
Preach.
Marketing is going to also be in that space of like, What do you need? And how can I point you in the direction of what you need? It's not just about selling to people or get in here and spend this bread. The bread is nice. Let's be honest. It pays the bills. But you got to do that. But that experience and like tailoring the experience to the person, like that's the beautiful tie, I think, between marketing and hospitality when done.
Yeah. Like you said, it's all person-centered. That's really what it comes down to.
I like how you said the pain. I never thought about that. The pain point. Like I would have never thought of that. Which is your favorite industry though?
That's hard to say. Now that's hard to say. It really is hard because being in these three buckets, like I only recently realized that these three buckets, entertainment, hospitality and marketing, had been running like simultaneously in my life, because I didn't plan it that way, but that's how it happened. Especially the hospitality factor, like that one was kind of a sleeper agent. I did not see that coming, but when I looked over my life, I was like, dang, like this has always been me. Like this is a part of me. So it's hard to say which one is my favorite, but I will say that if I had to answer it right now, I would say hospitality, because I love for people to have a great time. Like it fills my heart with joy to see people relax and feeling safe and secure. And I like pampering people. I love throwing surprises. If you come to Charleston, I want to tell you where you could go and do this, do that.
I will be hitting you up then. I'm from Charleston. I don't even know everything. So I got your contact information.
Oh, y'all are my favorite. The Charlestonians, they ain't did nothing.
Look, Vaughn, I used to always tell them that, especially like whenever we would do programs, like if we're doing Upper Bound and we have all those children, and I'll ask them, hey, you ever walk up King Street? And they'd be like, what? What's that? What do you mean walk up King Street? I'm like, y'all ain't been down to the store? They'd be like, no, I'm like, y'all live here, right? Mm-mm. I mean, I was walking by your house the other day. So I used to force them to go places, force them to go out.
Charlestonians are my favorites to talk to, especially Black Charlestonians, because to me, I feel very much like this y'all's anyway. It's like, it's sometimes when you have that perspective of growing up, of course, you see it in a different light. So it's like, you know, you already have an association of what, like, oh, the tourists go through that or whatever it may be. But there's so many beautiful things and aspects that sometimes I find that some like Charlestonians don't even know are there, which I don't fault them for that. Like, I primarily grew up in Colombia. Like, I wasn't running the streets of Colombia. Like, I wasn't, you know, like, that's how I was doing. Like,
I know everything about Colombia. Like, I don't know nothing about Charleston.
This is a very good question. Yeah. At what age do you think you really come into the spot where wherever you're living, you're actually now running the streets? In an official,
Because think about this.
I always ask people this because you're from such and such. I'm like, nah, not yet. Because you ain't been running the streets. You ain't been nowhere.
You was,
like,
was a child.
You was a child. You ain't know nothing about nothing until you get to the 18, point where you can go out
in the
there.
Bus. Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna say this. I'm not even gonna put an age number on it because I know some people that are up there and definitely not running those streets. But what I do say is, I think once you have a level of involvement. Then you can say that you are, like, whether that involvement is like, say you're a regular connoisseur of every new restaurant that opens up. That's you getting to know the city. Any way that you go to, like, understand the city, even if it's not like for me, I threw events. I've done a ton of stuff in Charleston, and I haven't even scratched the surface. But I've done things that put me in all different areas of Charleston. Mount Pleasant, Somerville, Hanahan, you know, West Ashley, James Island, all of these places that, like, I've done something that has landed me in these different areas. So that's where I feel like that's when you really start getting inundated in the city. Like, when you know where to look for, like, what's going on this weekend. Like, I'm going to tell you, and if y'all are one of these people, I'm sorry, but I'm going to say this. I can't stand somebody say, I'm bored. Ain't nothing to do.
Go ahead. Get them on.
I'm going to just call you.
You know what I'm saying?
That's it.
So there's always something to do. And I think that once you realize that there's something to do, then you start kind of getting involved in the city.
So
you know?
I kind of feel like it's like who you know. So how did you get connected with Charleston Wine and Food?
So Charleston Wine and Food, let's see, 2020, a friend of mine that was working there as a volunteer coordinator, she hit me up and said, yeah, I need some help with this. Like, you know, there's an opening for an assistant volunteer. And it was a contract position, so it was something that I could still work while having my job. And so I was like, okay, cool. Yeah, I can help, you know, help organize that. And then that's really how I got into and loved it. Like, I had been, like, Charleston Wine and Food is another one. That Wine and Food Festival is another one that I'm like, you know, if I had a goal in life, it would be for every, like, local that's interested in something yes. like that to go and yes. experience it. Because it's like, dang. Like,
it's this international. Really
it's is major. That's dope. All I like to hear people like, talk about.
Yeah, it's super dope. And it's something that I'm very passionate about. And I know my coworkers are, especially my close friend that I work with, like, we're very passionate about, like, Black people being there because it's enjoyable. And once again, like, I'll sound like a broken record, but I, you know, that's, I mean that, like, I feel like that's the group that should be benefiting. And
it's enjoying. The culture that is the reason yeah. that attracts people.
But right. you know, it's,
yeah.
But you know what's so weird about it? And I know we can all, I guess, you know, me, VP, and I know Anwar can speak on this a little bit too, is it seems like it's like especially like if you were Black and you were born and raised in Charleston and you have conversations with people who have come from other places, it's like it's two separate worlds.
Yep.
It's very yeah. different. So it's like a conversation yeah. that we would have us going to college. There's a lot different than someone like Tamaya would have yeah, about things, up. Right? Because we'll know
Absolutely.
About, you know, we're wired into all of those types of things. They're like, oh, we didn't know this was going on. We didn't know this was happening.
Yeah. yeah.
And that's something I've always noticed, even when I was down, when I lived down there.
It puts you in a weird mind headspace too, when you're down there, because I know I lived down there long enough to get to know the community and be in the community, work with the community. And even like from the guy, the Block Boys, up to the folk who work in the actual restaurants that are from there, and just speaking with them, like going to their little kickbacks.
Facts. Hangout,
that's what I hung out with.
Facts.
I hung out with regular folks, right?
So exactly. I'd be there,
seriously, like you'd be hanging out with them and they would talking to you about certain things and you'd just be like, yo, you got access. You can go to these places. It's like literally
right.
they're on the same, you're on the same street. There's a different vibration or frequency. So they can't see what you can see on that street.
100%.
And some 100%. Of it is tall. Or learned history. And I remember, rest in peace, Mr. Lewis, but Mr. Lewis would break this down yes. to us that back in the day, there were a lot of stories that were told to Black Charlestonians that lived there that would put fear in their minds about going to certain locations, even as like as simply as going to MUSC. The stories of being abducted and being used for science or medical research.
Oh.
Some of it founded in actual, you know, truth. So,
oh, don't get me started on South Carolina.
You can start.
Yeah, we got a little bit of time. We start because, like, I was born there. So, yeah. it's like, as an African-American, our culture, this is where our history is
yes.
born. And it's so much 100%, emotional 40%, feelings there. So, when you go downtown and you see all the history and you're just like, wow, like, this is where my ancestors started. This is where all the knowledge that I need is here.
Chalmers Street.
Yeah.
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 You can feel the energy too.
And that's exactly why I feel like the it's almost like a unification, right? Of like of just like what you painted of like you've got someone who is from Charleston and what they've been told, and then you got someone who comes from outside of Charleston and is like, no, actually, like, you know, let's take both the best of both of these worlds. Mm-hmm. And gravitate to something that we know, one, we deserve to be a part of, and then two, something that's definitely for us as a population. Mm-hmm. And it's wild to me. It's just wild to me when I see, even at the, you know, we both went to college in Charleston, and I remember being told at orientation, College of Charleston, you might not want to hear this, but, you know, I still got love for you, but in orientation, we were told to not mix with the locals.
Yeah.
Do what? Not talk to the locals.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Girl.
Oh, yes, for a fact. Yeah.
Yes.
And for a fact. And it was,
don't get
and
the spectrum.
That was based out of fear and ignorance.
Yeah.
And that was something that, like, I did, and I can remember it as plain as day. And here I am, And she deserves to be mad because that right there, especially being at a predominantly white institution, Mm-hmm. Like that was so, I mean, I know that now. And once again, this was 2010. I'm certain they're not saying those things now.
Girl, look, girl, you remember the boundaries during Spectra?
I was just about to say that.
Yeah, what were the boundaries for y'all?
Oh man, we couldn't go past, I can't remember them all.
Cannon was the one for us.
We couldn't go past Spring. So yeah, we got a little bit more. We got spring. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, gentrification took care of that.
Yeah. Dang, Kevin said that's so cold.
Gentrification took care of that.
It's the truth.
We'll get into that too when we talk about the business where our cannabis business is, because it's so interesting. Like now where I am, like I used to throw parties right there at 1001 King Street.
Say it again. What was the name of the business? You got to tell the name of the business.
Well, it wasn't a business. It was a Masonic Lodge.
Yeah.
But we dubbed it the Blue Room.
The Blue Room. Oh yeah, I remember the Blue Room. We used to have the parties at the Blue Room. Hey, tell them, Bob. Oh, we used to have the Blue Room now. Right beside what is now Rodney Scott's.
Where Rodney Scott's used to be lives right now. It used to be a little like car wash. Old car wash or something.
You remember the car wash on King Street? Right next to the food line?
Yeah.
So you know that's
way up there.
Way up there.
And that's the kind of we used to be stumbling like, back. My fault, Vaughn.
I'm sorry. We used to be stumbling back. Me and Marty be out there. Boot prime time all day, every day. Mr. Raymond and them. I'm trying to tell you, boy, we used to be coming out that place looking all sorts of other ways. But it was a fun time. Very safe. No problems in their environment. It was a good time.
There were no windows.
There were no windows in it. That is right. There were no windows.
It's like a casino. Wall,
the floor would be sweating.
Yeah, the floor would sweat. Like, it would be.
It was just.
That's
was
how you concerning. Knew it was a good party, though. The floor would be sweating.
Man,
it would be
whole, why did all I know that condensation in there. I wish I would have known y'all. Then.
You should have, Tamaya. Dang. You should have known us.
Well, I remember one time one of my sorority sisters slipped and fell while we were doing a stroll because it was so slippery. Boy.
Oh my lord. I used to be like, yo, we going into the den tonight, y'all. That's what I used to call it, the den. It was like it was a great time, man. Y'all used to throw some really cool kickbacks and have events for everybody to get together because it's something that we needed. Especially on that campus. Good lord. We had that foam at some kind of community.
Yeah, that's true.
100%.
And that's something that we always talk about too. We talked about it last season with a couple guests we've had on as well. Because you remember we talked about that with Kenny, we talked about it with Sean.
Yeah.
Especially with us being at a PWI.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that I think we kind of took advantage of at the time, we think about it even to this day, is that because there were so few of us on campus, because it was like less than 10%, right? On campus. Right. It's like we had no choice but to hang out with each other. Whereas if we would have been, and there's no shade to HBCU or anything like that, but conversations I've had with folks who went HBCUs, they only hung out with people who were just like them. Like with us, we had no choice but to hang. Like if you weren't Greek, it didn't matter. You had to hang out with the Greeks.
Yep.
And the Greeks
had to hang out to their events. Yeah, yep. Yeah. We had to support each other.
That's so crazy. We had to buy donuts and
remember what I used to do? I used to bring people to their bake sale. Like I would bring my whole group to the bake sale and buy out the bake sale. Yes. I would just go to their bake sale and be like, $50, give me everything off. Y'all leave.
Ball, come on, baller.
Yep.
Come on, baller.
I used to do that. I would support my people on campus.
Yeah, it's a fact. And I, you know, I really like what I see with
this portion of the podcast is brought to you by Lynx Recording Studio. Lynx is a premier audio and video recording studio in the greater Charleston area. With four completely different booths, multiple peripherals, and four producers, they have the ability to service all facets of audio and video creativity. If you need to record a song, a podcast, create a demo, or even take headshots and complete drops for a Hollywood film, we've done it. Call us at 843-879-9386 or search us online at lynxrecordingstudios.com. That's LYNX recordingstudios.com.
At the college now, because when I was in there, it also bothered me that it seemed like the only group that Black students could join would be either BSU or Greek.
Yeah.
And it's like, and I remember saying, and I had some people that were upset with me about this because, and I remember that conversation as clear as day, but I meant what I said. I was like, I said, yo, y'all don't have to join these organizations. You do not have to join any MPHC organization. Like, you don't have to do that to make a difference. I say, you can create your own clubs. You can do your own stuff. Like, you don't have to be this to do this. Like, yep. And that was an important thing. And I was the president at one point saying yes. this stuff. Mm. And people are like, well, we're supposed to be recruiting. I said, man, recruit. If somebody want to be Greek, they're going to be Greek. We got something bigger on our hands right now. People are trying to feel like they belong. They're trying to find themselves. Like, this is where we at with this, you know? And so I see a lot of groups now at the College of Charleston that I feel like do that exact thing, where it was like, you didn't have to be Greek. Like, you go to HBCUs and there's people who, everybody ain't Greek.
That's I was one of them. That's why I'm like, I respect that, because like, they really forced that on you. Like, you don't want to be Greek. And I'm like, no, why?
Yeah. That didn't cross my mind.
Like, that was never my interest. Yeah. Like, don't
to try to society.
Yeah. Yeah.
I always, always applauded you for that, Vaughn, because even my wife, you know, she has the best memory of you. You were one of her spectral leaders. She said, man, she was the coolest. She used to do this, this, and that. It didn't matter if I was Greek or not. You go hang out. She was fine. Nice. She tried to teach me how to twerk. I said, girl, I said, because I was like,
keep that in the vault.
But I was just like, because I was like, that was always her personality. I never saw Vaughn as a person who wanted to create or division. It was always about inclusion. The reason I think why you joined that was just to show that you could do that and do other things. And that's what made it extremely, made it extremely attractive to see the group that you were with, the organization that you're with on campus, because your organization was very inclusive. And that's not the first time I've heard that. I've heard that many times. So, of course, you know.
But that's awesome to hear. Like, that's really awesome to hear. And I take a lot of pride in that kind of stuff, because, you know, just like I said earlier about looking at the pain point, that's what I've always been doing without realizing I was doing it. I don't like to see people in pain or discomfort. I don't like seeing that. And do you know how much pain humans are in on a regular basis? Just like, human beings are in pain a lot. And I'm not saying that as a downer, like, but you never know what someone's going through, but you really don't. And so it don't mean that you always got to plaster a smile on your face and, you know, take crap from people. I'm not saying that. We got our boundaries, but there's so many times that people, especially in school, would be like, you know, something like, man, there's nothing to do. There's nothing to do that interests me here. You know, like every, you know, College of Charleston student got a fake ID and jumping into bars, but that ain't really our scene.
That's
like,
not
We don't really want to do that. And so us creating things because of the fact that, like, I remember one time in Warren parking lot, I got a bunch of cars in a circle, opened up the doors, played music, and we double dutched. Like, it was like, that was a thing. Now, granted, somebody did injure their eye.
Yeah.
But.
Hey, but that ain't got nothing to do with you. Nah, you just athletic. Sometimes you got to stretch.
You created the experience. I like that.
Yeah.
There you go. Exactly.
Stretch before you start double dutching.
Exactly. And that was something, but that was the moment of, like, I just always had it in my mind that, like, I don't want to. There's only so much complaining I'm gonna do.
Yeah.
There's only so much complaining I'm gonna do. That problem solver in me, that curiosity, that visionary in me, is not gonna sit down and complain too much longer. Like, so that's what I carry with me.
Smart.
So going back to pain points, you are the co-owner of Mr. B CBD. Congratulations on that.
Right.
Speaking of pain, y'all relieving pain. So can you tell us what are some of the misconceptions about CBD and hemp products that you guys sell? Or
So first thing I'm gonna do is because the lawyers be listening. Okay.
Yes.
I'm not gonna make any claims, any health claims or anything. Everything cannabis related is not FDA approved. So that's just first and foremost. So anything I talk about will be my own experiences and you know, testimonials people have told me. So, you know, you got to make sure you say that, because
thank you. Cover your ass.
Baby washer. All right. Which is another pain point it's my personal pain point. No. So cannabis. So first to kind of address, there's so much I could say about this, y'all, but one misconception about CBD in general is that some people think CBD is not cannabis, or like, let me use some traditional words within this too. Weed, marijuana, like people don't understand that CBD, like they live beside each other. Yep. Marijuana that we're used to, traditional marijuana, is THC, Delta 9 THC, which is a cannabinoid that occurs naturally within the cannabis plant. Well, so does CBD. Mm-hmm. And they actually work extremely well together. I always kind of look at, you know, there's hundreds of cannabinoids, hundreds and hundreds. We haven't even identified all the cannabinoids within cannabis.
They never allowed anybody to look at it.
Hey, come on now.
Yeah.
But the major ones that we'll kind of talk about right now is like your THC, Delta 9, and CBD, right? Because these are like kind of the hot ones that people have been talking about for a while. Mm-hmm. But I always paint them as this. THC, imagine you're in a room and THC comes in the door, Delta 9. And it is just wild. Okay, like it is just tearing up the sheets, around the room. It's bouncing around. It's a little paranoid. It's a little this, it's a little that. And you're like, oh my God, this could be a little much. Like, I like you, but you're a little much. And then CBD comes into the room and all of a sudden knows the magic words to make THC kind of straighten up and relax.
Yeah.
So together they are better. Right. Like that's what CBD and THC are really great partners, along with the other cannabinoids, right? But it's specifically with that. So I think that's a big misconception people have. They're like, oh, I took the CBD, I didn't feel anything. But that's not how CBD works. It's more of a subtle shift. It's not something that is going to blast you out of your mind. Like, that's not, you know, cannabis.
You lost in Deep Space 6.
Personally, like, you're talking to a cannabis business owner who has a THC sensitivity. Like, I got a sensitivity to THC, and through trial and error, I have learned that. Okay. And so when it came down to it, getting into hemp derived cannabinoids and things like that, that was so effective for me because I knew that there was benefits within the plant, but I knew I had to use it in a different way. So that's why I'm attracted to it. And my husband, Mecca, that's the last time I'm going to say he's my husband because I can't. His name is Mecca. So,
there you go.
That's for future. Okay. Yeah. Because it'd just be too much. My husband.
Like, I know what you mean.
I just need to use the name.
Yeah. Okay.
So Mecca is the one who came to me and said, hey, look, I want to do this. In 2019, he was talking about it. And then
That's a quick turn.
Yes. And Mecca was definitely well versed within like the cannabis industry way more than I. Like,
yeah.
Yo, I really just started diving into cannabis in 2020, January 2020.
Gotcha.
So that was one of the biggest misconceptions that I started realizing is that people are like, well, I don't feel nothing. And what is it? Like, it's the same thing as this THC. It's just their cousins. They just do a little something different, you know? So I'm going to, before I go on a rabbit hole, that's the answer to that question of the misconception.
But what are some of the difficulties you guys face?
So the difficulties we face.
I'll wait, yeah.
So, first and foremost, banking is always a thing. And I'll just kind of put that out there like that. I won't touch too deep into banking, but just know it's extremely difficult because of the type of product that it is. And so there's a lot of nuances to that. So I'll just kind of say that to get that part out the way. The second one was card processors. When we started this, we got like an online boutique and we take cards, but no processor was trying to take our card. Like we had, because we were dealing with hemp, nobody wanted to have the responsibility of like, oh, if it was not for Square, that's who we have now.
That's what I was
If it wasn't for Square starting their CBD program literally the same month that we
wanted to start
our stuff.
Yeah, serendipity.
Because we had made, and we didn't realize this at first, right? Like, so I'm working with my friend and she's helping us like build a sick website. Like, it's all good. And then all of a sudden we're like, wait, how are we going to take
payment?
How are we going to take payments? So we try to go to a different area, several areas, and they're like, oh, no, that's marijuana. Like, well, no, it's hemp. It's federally legal. Hemp.
Yeah.
No, that's marijuana.
Mm-hmm. Right. I remember when y'all was going through this. Yeah.
Oh, my God. And so then Square started their CBD program and said you can sell flower, edibles, oils, tinctures. And we were like, Yes. And so we've been with Square and been in their CBD program since 2020. So that was another one, card processor. When it comes to the actual state of South Carolina, fun fact for everybody out there, it's going to blow a lot of people's minds because it always does when I tell them. You need nothing to start a CBD business. Let's say that again. You need no special permit.
What?
You need no special anything. Yes.
Is it agriculture? Yes. It's agriculture.
Yes, my dog. But check this out now.
Go ahead.
I don't say that as a positive thing because I mean, it's good. It works for us. But this is the reason why. They don't want you to open up a retail shop. They don't want you to open up a retail shop. They don't want you to look for that information. I have been on phone calls with the Department of Agriculture for the state of South Carolina. Mm. They were not supportive. Mm. Okay, they were, when I said, oh, yeah, I just wanted to make sure, because I could find nothing online about it. Mm. The only thing that comes up is the hemp program in South Carolina. So I thought, okay, well, maybe that's what I'm supposed to do. So I call up there and I say, yeah, I was just trying to look at the permits and, you know, because they've got hemp handlers license and different licensing and stuff like that. And they were like, oh, well, we don't give those to retail companies. What? If you're a retail shop, we do not give you these permits. And I said, so is it against the law for me to have the store open? That's when they start tap dancing. Well, no, it's not. But, you know, hemp flower is illegal. I said, but where does it say that hemp flower is legal? There's no law in the state of South Carolina that says smokable hemp is illegal. Yeah, well, it's the opinion of the attorney general. Well, opinion, not law.
Opinion's not law.
No, that's right.
It's okay? Not a statute.
And that's another problem in the state of South Carolina is that we rely too much on our law enforcement to create laws. And that's not how that goes. So anyway, long story short, there was no answer they could give me. The only thing that they could give me was they were going off of how in 2019, a lot of these shops on King Street that were CBD shops pretty much, you know, for lack of better words, got raided and got their product taken from them, especially flower, because it used to be that you could get flour from the shops down here. Yep. And I knew that because I'd gone in there and bought flour before. So when I called and I was like, well, the place down the street is selling flour. Well, y'all aren't supposed to. And we're just going to leave that up to the municipalities to figure out.
They are so messy.
All right. Sounds like no one wants to take responsibility for this. So that would be another thing that I would say is a thing when it comes to a challenge is the lack of knowledge that people who try to make laws or people that are like that lack of knowledge that they have it can be very frustrating because they don't know what they're talking about. They don't know what to advise you on. There's no advice.
And they're trying to enforce things that haven't been decided.
That aren't even law, right? Yeah. And so when you're doing that, that's a dangerous place to be in because then that means who are you doing this for then? It's not the people. So who are you trying? Why are you trying to sway us to move in this direction? It's not a law. So now you're just trying to persuade.
Yeah.
So why? Yeah. Who are you persuading for?
Times. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was something. And I know in the beginning, like, you know, it was something that really made me nervous in the beginning. Like, I'm not going to lie to y'all. Like, that made me super nervous because I was like,
coming for me.
I remember like, there was a point in time where you all had it on the website, like literally like, we have this. We cannot sell this in the state of South Carolina. It must be shipped out. And I'm like, what y'all selling? Y'all look like it's normal stuff. I've been following y'all as y'all went through the process of getting everything together and it looked like everything was up to code. Everything was up to law. That's why I was like, oh, this is gonna be super dope.
Yeah. Couldn't and you know where that came from? That came from the fact of once again, somebody's funky opinion about, oh, we can't sell flour to in-state people.
This was crazy.
Wow.
But they
after a while, like, and I really give a lot of credit to Mecca because I feel like a lot of times Mecca is grounding for me to remind me of like, hey, look, like that's not the law.
Yeah.
This is what the law is. And so I feel like a lot of times, like even for me as an owner and somebody who is in this industry, like, sometimes that stuff is scary, right? You're like, man, like, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to misstep. I don't want to do this. But you're also just jumping off the porch a lot of times. So it's like you just have to stand on your two feet, know your rights, and keep it pushing.
Especially as a business owner.
That's where
and you're not wanting to like lose all of your eggs. Like that's something that you're building for the next generation. And you don't want to, you know, see it all go up in smoke.
Not especially make, you when you're nice one. Nice one. Especially, you know, we bootstrap our business.
Yeah.
This is money out of our pocket. This is our saved money. This is how we invest, you know, like, and so this is all coming from us because, you know, getting a loan for a cannabis business, who, don't what,
exist.
Where?
Don't exist.
So this is us really putting our blood, sweat, tears into this thing. So those are kind of the biggest things is like that lack of information, the gray area, you know, you try to use it to your advantage, but you have to be on the up and up. That's why I joined SC Normal. Cause I was like, I've got to be involved in what's going on with these cannabis conversations that are going on because, and also y'all
legislation wise, like,
black and brown people get locked up so much for this.
Yep.
In 2018, they had a study come out. ACLU had a study come out about how, I think in Charleston or Beaufort County or whatever, maybe Dorchester County, it was like black people were 3.5 times more likely to be arrested for possession. So to me, I'm like, if you don't think we gonna have a cannabis business, you know, and be in this space at the corner of King and Romney Street. Then we're going to do that.
They're like, who's pushing on this corner?
Exactly. So. Anyway, that's kind of initial thoughts. I think that answers the questions.
Nah, but I understand the reason why. And I know just for wrapping up, I must ask, this is one question we ask of everybody who comes on the show. How do you manage your time between juggling so many projects throughout your life and, you know, living life, your work-life balance? How do you do that?
Yeah, I feel like I've been able to comfortably like get into a good groove of this within the last couple of years, which is when I give myself a whole lot of grace. Like I try to slow myself down. Like I try to not put so much pressure on myself. So I compliment myself a lot. This is how I balance this stuff. I compliment myself a lot. I tell myself, you know, if I've done something, I say, good job, Vaughn. Like I celebrate every win. I don't care what it is. I don't care. There's no perception of it being small or big. I celebrate every single win. And I continuously show myself love and admiration. Somebody recently asked me, they said, well, how did like you look successful in this and that? I said, oh, because I love myself. That's the reason why. And it's a question. It's an answer that's just like, if you really think about how far you will go if you simply loved yourself and gave yourself some credit and gave yourself some grace in tough situations, you will find that you will be way more productive, way more successful. Like it starts with you. You can't being on the radio and all this other kind of stuff. Like I used to be on the radio and then wasn't on the radio anymore. Like, let me tell you, when you're in a space of like people would consider to be limelight and then you decide not to be in that limelight, stuff be real different. People don't be around, all this other kind of stuff. So I say that to say, you can't be dependent on the applause of other people. Like you've got to love what you're doing. Like you have to do that. So that's how I balance that. And then I've got an awesome family.
Yeah.
You know, I have things that I look forward to. You know, I enjoy spending time with my son, with my husband, like that. That's fun stuff and my family in general. So like I try to set boundaries too. It's like, if it's something for my family, I want to be there, you know, like I want to be there because they keep me going. So.
Yeah. Excellent.
Great way to wrap up. And so before we leave, we're going to go ahead and do sign out. We must go ahead and let you do your shameless plugs. Do you have any upcoming projects or anything we can expect from you in the future? And then of course, please drop your social medias so that people can get
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to try to definitely keep this short. So for Mr. B, there's a whole lot of fun stuff that we've got planned for Mr. B. Mr. B has new products all the time. And we, especially when it comes to the flower, there's some big moves that's coming here soon with the flower that we're really excited about. flower is something that we love, but we also are moving into high THCA flower, which is going, that's a big one, y'all. That's a big one. That's so if you're a traditional smoker, or like maybe you've been trying to like, you know, still obtain that kind of experience, we're going to have a compliant product that's going to really get you closer to that. And then we've got some events that we've got up our sleeves that we think are going to be really dope. In terms of, see what else, in terms of like the audio business that I do, stuff like that, that's just pushing along, it's chugging along. There is some podcast promotion platforms that I'm starting, or plans that I have up my sleeve as well, that I'll be looking to probably launch at the beginning of the year, or at least Q1 of next year. But other than that, I'm going to keep it right. Oh, and then SC Normal, I got to plug my peeps at SC Normal, South Carolina. Normal. Mm-hmm. Normal is an advocacy group, to, you know, working to reform marijuana laws. And we've got events coming up, but for sure, next January, we are looking to have another lobby day where we go to the Capitol. We talk those facts. Mm-hmm. And so that's going to be exciting too.
Excellent. Well, yes, your social medias. We didn't get your medias. We need to know how they can find you. Your website, most specific.
So I'm going to keep this to, you can follow me at Vaughn Postuma. It's at Vaughn Postuma on Instagram. And then follow Mr. B CBD. That's at Mr. B CBD on Instagram. And check us out at MrBCBD.com. And if you're in Charleston, come holler at us, because we are open. Pull on up. Make a little appointment, because this is a boutique.
Okay. Yes, it is. It is a boutique.
I'm glad
y'all.
You said that.
Yeah, you can't just run up yourself in there like that. Yeah. Show some respect.
Yeah.
Well, it's a pleasure as always. Anytime I speak with you, Vaughn, you always have good words to say and you're always in a good mood. I speak with you, I always like to hear what you have to say and how you're feeling and what's going on. So I'll try not to be a stranger, but I will say, from the folks here at the Hilltop Glove Podcast, we appreciate you. We want to thank you for joining us today, taking time out of your busy week. So from myself, DJ Ann Watt, Ms. Tamaya Allen, my brother, of course, Kevin Skip, and Magic Mike right here over on the side. Say something, Mike.
Oh yeah, I'm just a fan. I've been sitting back listening, because I've been following this whole situation as it's been going through Columbia and watching shops like lose their flower, and then you go down the block until you're in Forest Acres and you get another set of rules entirely, which has always been just nuts to me. But yeah, good work that you're doing out there. CBD for pain relief, like my wife had a back situation and that saved her literally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I need people like y'all. I need people like y'all, because that's the best way we're going to make some noise in South Carolina. Some people think it's impossible. I say, no, I told you, I've got that visionary element about me. And I know that if the people make noise, it's going to make a difference. So I appreciate you giving that testimonial too, because there's even things within that. There's so much that we could be benefiting from.
Yes.
You know? And so what's ours needs to be back in our hands. So, yeah, for a fact.
Any way we can help you, just let us know.
Oh, for sure. I will be hitting y'all up. You can catch me. Matter of fact, this is my last night. You can catch me every Wednesday live streaming Cannabis Conversation. So come check me, y'all. Come check me.
Yeah.
Every Wednesday, we stream live on YouTube and Facebook. So if you follow South Carolina Normal on YouTube, you'll see me every Wednesday at 7 p.m. We just did this kind of revamp. So there's some new things happening with our chapter, because we've been wanting to get a little bit more active, and that's happening now. So interact with me, talk to me on those Wednesdays, because that's going to be crucial.
Perfect. Thank you so much. We enjoyed this so much.
Yes.
Thanks y'all. I appreciate it.
Certainly. And from the Hilltop Glove Podcast, just want to tell everybody, have a great, peaceful weekend. Be safe out there. Tell everybody around you that you love them.
That's it for today's episode of the Hilltop Glove Podcast.
Make sure to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and other platforms.
Also, follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Hilltop Glove.